Springbok 9:30 dossier. Every day at this time, we bring you dramatized stories of excitement, romance, and suspense from the files of interesting and fascinating people.
We present the final episode of The Veil of Darkness by Ron Evans. Lying in the cover of the undergrowth, I raised my Schmeisser submachine gun and carefully aimed at the group standing at the side of the road. Three grinning German soldiers and Violetta's back showed clearly in the sight. My finger went to the trigger and took the first pressure. One burst and it would be over. Violetta, my beautiful mountain treasure, would be dead. Her back was in the center of the sight. I wanted her to die immediately and as painlessly as possible. Yet I hesitated, just as I had hesitated before shooting Maria a week before. It was as well that I did. The smile slid from the face of one of the soldiers, and his hand went roughly to Violetta's shoulder. She appeared to recoil, and a second soldier gripped her arm. The third man grabbed a handful of her dark hair and pulled back her head, unsheathing a glittering bayonet with his free hand. Then I guessed the truth. Relief flooded through me, and my index finger came away from the trigger. I flicked the Schmeisser onto single shot and aimed again. This time at the German holding Violetta's hair. This time my finger squeezed the trigger along with a prayer that the weapon's sights were accurate. The soldier stepped back a pace and crumpled. His two companions released their grip on Violetta as I fired a second shot. In that instant, Violetta kicked the third soldier in the groin. He doubled up, and my third shot went through the top of his helmet. As the man flopped about on the ground, Violetta dived into the side of the road.
Violetta, it's Paul here. Can you hear me?
It's all right.
Come on, Violetta. It's all right, they're dead.
And here's Paul. Come here quickly.
Right. What's wrong? You're all right now.
No, Paul. There's an armored car just around the corner. The crew will have heard the shots.
Oh, I can't see anything.
They are waiting in case any of your people try to get into Riasco. There. Do you hear it? Those soldiers were stationed at the roadside to warn them of anyone approaching. Now they will come after us, Paul.
Saw the camouflage-painted vehicle turn a corner. It veered to the side of the road and smashed down a road sign and part of a fence. Then it made for our hiding place, crushing bushes and undergrowth in its path. I remember seeing a split with a machine gun's muzzle protruding, ready to spit certain death at us. Violetta gripped my hand and tried to pull me up to run from its path. It came at us like a lumbering elephant. 50 yards, 40 yards, 30, 20, 10 yards, and then suddenly... something hit the armored car and blossomed out into a yellowish flash of searing flame. The vehicle reared up and then rolled onto its side, pouring out smoke and flame. Its crew were incinerated in a few brief seconds. The blast and heat shook me, and Violetta, who had been half standing to run, was blown from her feet to a place a few feet behind me.
Violetta, are you all right?
Yes, I think so.
What the hell happened?
I don't know. It was this
way. You're all right, Lieutenant.
Startled by the friendly voice on my left, I looked and saw a patrol of men coming out of the trees. One of them was carrying a bazooka.
We've been watching that armored car for quite a bit now, waiting to see what they're up to. As a matter of fact, we were going to try and swipe it.
No much good now, is he?
Sergeant Harris, what a relief to see you.
Just one of the added services, sir. Saw them nasties copping your little girl there on the corner? Cool, imagine me surprised when you clobbered him like that. I thought for a minute Jack was going to be too late with his bloody bazooka. He was wobbling like an old lady with a dolly peg on wash day. Aye, you singed your hair a bit there, miss.
Yeah.
Well, she can't understand much of what you're saying, Sergeant. I'll tell her about it later.
Good idea, sir. Women can be funny about their hair.
Yeah, right. What are you doing so far from the column?
I baked your rams and sent us along here to keep an eye on the road.
Oh, of course. A pity about that armored car, sir. We could have had a ride down to the coast, innit?
Yes, quite. But, what are you going to do now?
I'll get back to the column, I suppose. I don't think them nasties in the town will give us any more trouble now. We'll keep you company if you like.
You go on ahead, Sergeant. We'll catch you up after a little chat with my young lady.
Right on, Lieutenant. She's looking a bit pale after nearly getting a bayonet in her gizzard and then run down by an armored car. See you later.
Yes.
All right, you lot. Keep to the tree.
Well, Violetta.
Oh, what was he saying?
Tell you all about it later. But what I told him was that we're going back to the column with him. Do you have any objection to that?
Oh, Paul, no. Not now.
Good. Now, I want you to tell me what happened.
Before I reached the road, I saw those German soldiers standing on the corner.
Uh-huh.
So I hid my Schmeiser over there in the bushes and walked up to them, pretending I was from Viasco. At first, they believed me.
Yeah. But there was something worrying me a great deal. They were laughing.
Oh, yes, I pretended to be a prostitute from the Caverna Bar.
Huh? What's that?
Oh, it used to be the liveliest place in Viasco. You know, music, lots of girls.
Yeah. So what happened then?
The partisans blew up the Caverna a month ago, killing everyone inside, including a lot of German soldiers.
I see. So they knew you were lying.
Yes. You saw it for yourself. One of them said I had been sent to spy by the British.
Right. Well, I sincerely hope you've given up any idea of visiting your Uncle Victor.
Oh, yes. As you said earlier, perhaps we can visit him when the war is over.
Yeah, maybe. But tell me something. What was so special about your Uncle Victor that you were willing to risk your life?
You see, Paul, he would have been able to send a message along to my brother to tell him I am safe and on my way to England.
Well, in a few months, you might be able to send him a letter. Come on, you get your gun, and let's catch up with Sergeant Harris's mob. For the next 2 hours, I walked along with Violetta, slightly ahead of the patrol, ignoring the leery chuckles of the men as we held hands. I thanked heaven for the power that had made me hesitate before squeezing the Schmeisser's trigger. Had the German soldiers swallowed Violetta's story, she would have been lying dead at the roadside, condemned in my mind forever as a traitor. We joined the rear end of the column on a tarn but badly potholed road. Saunders shook his head when he saw me.
See, you're in big trouble, Paul.
What? Why?
I'm glad to see you both back safe, though.
Yeah. What did you say? I'm in trouble? Maybe.
Major Ramsden came back about an hour ago.
Yeah?
He wanted you and Violetta to go ahead of the column with a patrol to scout the landing place.
Do you mean we're that close to it?
Yeah, 6 miles. No, about 4 by now.
4 miles. So that means we'll probably get taken off tonight.
Oh, I sure hope so.
So do I. What happened? About Ramsden, I mean. What did you say?
Well, I tipped him a knowing wink and said that you and Violetta had slipped off for a bit of, to be by yourselves for a spell.
What? You mean that you... Oh, no.
He went off red-faced and embarrassed. From what I hear, he sent Kozat with a patrol. Mind you, it should have been funnier with Colonel Horton. You know what a prissy old thing he is.
All right.
Anyhow, tell me what happened. We heard one hell of a bang over there a while back.
Yes. Yeah, but it was quite a harrowing experience, Martin.
I thought it was.
Yeah. You see, I met up with Violetta while she was busy chatting merrily to three German soldiers. Our last lap to the coast was completed by 9 that evening. With patrols ranging out all round us, we passed through a wood and came to the mouth of an inlet. Here, a small jetty poked out into the deep water. On our left, rocks looked out onto the Adriatic Sea. But where we stood, the water was calm. Although it was dark, Major Ramsden put almost every available man to guarding our rear in the event of a last-ditch attempt to prevent our evacuation. At precisely midnight, the prescribed signal was flashed out across the dark water, and a moment later, a distant light replied. Less than half an hour later, the 1st Royal Navy MTB nosed its way into the inlet and alongside the narrow fisherman's jetty. By this time, in typical army fashion, Horden had every person counted off into groups called A, B, C, etc. Violetta and I were in G and found ourselves pitching gently out into the open sea a few minutes after one. She stood beside me at the taffrail, staring at the disappearing dark shape of Yugoslavia. And then suddenly, with a roar, the MTB's young commander put his engines into full ahead.
It's a promise.
I wonder if it will ever be the same as it was before the war.
Well, I doubt it, darling. Nothing ever stays the same.
Will it be better? Will all the killing and pain have served some purpose?
I'm afraid only time can answer that.
I'm sad at leaving Paul. I can't help it.
Her head leaned heavily on my shoulder, and I felt her softly sobbing against my shirt. From the moment she'd stepped on board the MTB, it was as though she was no longer the fierce mountain partisan and had become what she really was, a warm, gentle, and loving woman. Holding her closely, I looked back and saw the white waves creaming out from the bow of an MTB far back in our wake. What I said about time is true. It heals many wounds and blunts the memory, for which I think we should be thankful. Let's go 10 years ahead to the summer of 1954, to a comfortable London suburb, a sycamore-lined road of semi-detached houses in the early afternoon.
Karen, I told you to play outside in the garden and close the door behind you. Oh, they nearly knocked a mixing bowl out of my hands with that ball.
Sit down and relax, Vera. You can bake cakes any old time.
You're home early from the office, Paul.
Uh-huh.
Nothing's wrong, is it?
No, on the contrary. You see, I got a phone call which made me drop everything and race home.
What? Who was it?
Here. I want you to have a drink with me.
Some of the peach brandy we brought back from Yugoslavia last month?
Yes. And it happens to be a very appropriate drink for what's about to happen.
What is all the mystery for, Paul? Is it something nice?
Mm-hmm. Sort of.
But tell me.
Here, drink this. Mm. Like Dmitri Arkhanov would have said. Do you remember Dmitri?
Oh, yes, I remember. A big, hairy Russian who was always shouting, laughing, and drinking.
Yeah, poor Dmitri. He died with a bottle of this by his side.
Tell me why you came home early, Paul.
Hmm?
Why are you looking out through the window?
Oh, nothing.
You are expecting a visitor.
Yeah. Spot on, Violetta. And here he is now, drawing up in a large black car.
Who is it? Yes, I recognize him. The American officer.
That's right. Martin Sanders. Be a love and open the door for him, will you?
Gee, I'd recognize a beauty like you anywhere. Well, I hope you've learned to speak English since I last saw you.
Oh, like a native. Come in, come in.
Hey, isn't Paul home yet?
He's lurking in here with a bottle of peach brandy in his hand.
Right here. Wonderful to see you again, Marty.
Oh, hi, Paul. It's great to be here.
Sit down. Look what I've got.
Oh, yeah? Peach brandy. I'll have a large shot for old time's sake.
So, tell me, what brings you to England?
I'm the legal advisor to a multinational oil company, and I have to come here several times a year.
Uh-huh.
This time, I reckon the time was ripe for a reunion.
Yeah, good. You know something? You haven't changed a bit.
Bit of a pot belly from good living.
We have a spare room if you'd like to stay, Martin.
You know, I think I'll take you up on that.
Good.
How did you find us?
I'll keep that a secret for a while. You'll know the answer in a couple of hours' time.
Mysteries. All I'm getting today is mysteries.
Now I know how you felt a few minutes ago.
Now we move to a city street where an antique shop stands on a busy corner. The owner has just served a customer.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Hamilton. I'm sure your husband will be happy about your choice. Hello.
Oh, good afternoon. Can I help you?
Yes, it is a good afternoon, yeah, Major Ramsden?
I know you. Yes, but...
Former Waffen-SS Major Gunther Schier.
Why? What are you doing here? I mean...
You will take my hand, yeah?
Of course.
I have come from Hamburg to see you.
Really? Well, I don't know what to say.
Well, I see we both sell furniture, Major. I sell the new and you sell the old, yeah?
Look, please come into my back office. Cynthia, look after things for me, would you? Well, I must admit, seeing you gave me rather a jolt.
Please, Mayor, leave the door open so we can see into your shop. I am expecting someone else to join me.
Your wife?
Just the thought fills me with terror.
I don't understand.
It is a lady. I am expecting a real lady. A titled lady. Do you understand now, Major Ramsden? The last time I met her, she demanded my surrender.
Lady Agnes Collier? Coming here?
Yeah, coming here. But not for 10 minutes yet. I am early.
But how on earth? I mean...
Do you remember an American officer, Captain Martin Saunders?
Saunders? Yes, of course. He was in here a week ago. He said he was looking up his old friends. He wanted to know where Paul Sale was living. Oh, you don't know Sale, do you?
No, but Saunders told me of him and the beautiful partisan girl he brought to England with him.
Oh, damn problem that was. Almost caused a scandal when we arrived in Italy. Still, Lady Agnes caused a scene and sliced through a lot of red tape.
Yeah, I can believe anything of Lady Agnes. If Winston Churchill had dropped her over Berlin early in the war, Adolf Hitler might not have survived the experience, yeah.
So, Saunders told you where to find me.
Yeah, and he traced Lady Agnes and told her to meet us here. If you have no objection, tonight we will have a reunion, yeah?
Hold on, Major Shear. Does Lady Agnes know you'll be here?
No idea at all. I want to see her face when she recognizes me.
Well, you take my advice. Be ready to duck her umbrella.
10 years, Major. We have all changed. Lady Agnes, I am sure, will be no exception.
Oh, now, don't be too sure.
I would have liked my adjutant, Lieutenant Faeser, to be with me. Sadly, he was killed, I'm afraid. 3 days before the war ended.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, old chap. What happened to you after we'd escaped over the pass?
Oh, you were so clever. There was nothing I could do when you blew up the tunnel. few days later, I regrouped my battalion and returned to my HQ.
You were sent to fight the Russians?
To my own surprise, the delaying tactic served us well. For a short time, my battalion did garrison duty, and then we were sent to reinforce the Wehrmacht in northern Italy. On the day the war ended, I threw a great party before driving south to the surrender point. Yeah, it's a pity Weser did not survive.
Mm. What about the men on the hill above the tunnel?
Oh, the Russians?
Yes, and an Irishman.
Ah, yeah, you mean Sergeant Ryan. Mm. I remember him. He was killed with all the Russians. They were brave men. Had they not kept their positions, we might have seized the tunnel before it was demolished.
Yes, they were brave men.
When they ran out of ammunition, this Sergeant Ryan hit Corporal Schmidt with a bottle before he was shot.
Really?
A man is walking about somewhere in Germany with those scars still on his face. Why did this Irishman not go with you through the tunnel?
Well, he became friends with the Russian officer and, well, who knows?
Tell me, young woman, where might I find Major Ramsden?
Oh, action stations. The lady has arrived.
I'll show her in.
Ah, so he's hiding in here, is he?
My dear Lady Agnes.
Ah, yes, there you are. Your hair's turned gray.
Oh.
Don't look at me like that. That damn Balkan tour we made turned mine gray. Who's this with you?
Pleased to meet you again, Lady Agnes.
You? A bit late to surrender now, aren't you sure?
Well, I did it in the end. Major Ramsden warns me to beware of your umbrella.
You should have let me take him by surprise, Major.
It's very nice to see you again, Lady Agnes.
I'm sure it is. Nice to see you. I'm not so sure about this other fellow, though. What are you doing nowadays, Major Sher? Prison governor, at least?
I own a furniture shop in Hamburg.
Ooh, come down from goose-stepping about in jackboots. Where's that nice American boy? He was always so confused.
He arranged for us to meet here, you know.
For what reason, may I ask?
A reunion, Lady Agnes.
I see. The last time we met, Major Sher, your young adjutant was inducing me to drink cognac. Rather enjoyed it, actually. Well, where is this reunion?
Saunders is sending a car to pick us up. It should be here shortly.
Mm. Will that awful man, Colonel Horton, be coming? Couldn't stand the stuffy fellow.
No, he died a few months ago, Lady Agnes.
With his boots on?
I suppose one could say that. On the floor of the stock exchange.
Doesn't surprise me. Still, he was a nice fellow, really, I suppose. Better in an office than out in the field, though. You suffered from the same kind of office wallers on your side, didn't you, Major Sher? Chaps like Hitler, Goering, Himmler, all that ridiculous crowd.
Yeah, Lady Agnes. A very astute observation.
Not long now. Let me see. That's nearly five. Any minute now, your curiosity will be satisfied. I hope you're gonna excuse the liberty.
Oh, come on, Martin. You're being very mean.
What liberty? Well, the fact that I've organized a reunion. There's a bar down the road called the Haystack where it'll be held.
That's fine, but it's a pub, not a bar. In fact, it has four bars.
Yeah, well, tonight we've gotten one all to ourselves.
Oh.
Paul, now he's looking out of the window.
Yeah, all right, Martin, tell me, who are you expecting?
Would you believe Major Ramsden, Major Shear, and Lady Agnes Collier?
No,
then you're wrong, buddy. And here they come.
Oh, I just don't believe it.
You'd better. Oh, and I hope that pub of yours sells peach brandy. Oh, and French cognac for Lady Agnes, if my memory serves me well.
Right.
Well, you better go see them in Veal. Oh, gee, it's going to be one hell of a night.
Yes, I've got a feeling you're going to... You're right.
You have just heard the final episode of The Veil of Darkness. The part of Paul was played by Roger Service, Major Ramsden by Ken Jackson, Colonel Horden by Tony Cadman, and Captain Sanders by Frank Graham. Mike Westcott was Major Shear, and Peter Gardner was Lieutenant Vaser. Violetta was played by Suzanne Atwill, and Jill Fenson was Lady Agnes Collier. Others in the cast were John Simpson, Stuart Parker, Reg Richards, Michael Swinton, Cecil Northcote, Caroline Smart, and Don Ridgway. The Veil of Darkness was written by Ron Evans, produced by Yolan Dottman, and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Springbok 930 Dossier, dramatized for broadcasting, and brought to you on Springbok Radio.